For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening. Hey, how you guys doing? Am I on? You guys hear me? Got a little summer cold. I don't know how it happens. I was explaining it to my wife, who's a nurse. I said, I got a cold in the summer. She's like, yeah, it's a virus. You can get colds in the summer. I was like, my mind was blown. I don't know. I was confused. Ooh, a TV. Look at that. It has my name on it. It's fancy. How you guys doing? You guys doing good? Staying out of the heat? This, at least it's nice and cool in here, right? So that's good. So tonight, I'm taking it old school. I'm going back to a very simple kind of way of doing things, just Bible study type thing. So tonight I'm going to talk about what God wants. I think sometimes a lot of us, we forget that God is a being, that he's not just a force, that he's actually a being and he loves you and he wants to be around us. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. And if you brought your Bibles, you can definitely read along, but we have technology, so there you go. How many of you guys have your Bible on your smartphone? Anybody? There's a really cool app. If you don't, it's the ESV app. Anybody have that? Nobody has that. All right, so I've already brought something to you that you didn't have. All right, so I'm going to go and pray, and I really do believe in what I'm talking about tonight, and It's weird because we live this life where we have to get up in the morning and we go to work and we take care of kids if you have children or, you know, you have relationships and you have road rage, especially in the summer, right? Like, people drive like crazy out there, especially during full moons. Have you noticed that? Even during the day, it's the weirdest thing. So we have, like, life and then we have this truth that is there, and sometimes it's easy to forget and get into that mindset. I'm in the mindset because it's my job. I'm supposed to be there. I've spent, you know, the entire day trying to do the best with this mind that God gave me. But you came tonight, and you're wherever you're at. I have no idea. And so I just want to invite you to think real quick about your day, think about your month, think about the things you're going through. And as I pray, I want you to believe and agree with me in prayer that God himself, okay, the being God, can actually speak to you tonight if you're listening to him. I don't care if you hear what I say. I don't care if you like me, honestly. I see this as a job, and my job is to bring you what God brought me, and that's it. And I want you to do with it what you will. Is that cool? Does that sound like the right mindset? I hope. So as I pray right now, I just want you to think about that. Because this is work. I mean, how many of you, us are here just for kicks and fun, right? Like, maybe some of you singles are trying to hit on some person around you. I get that, all right? It's a happening spot. But most of us are here to work, right? Like, we're here to get some stuff done. And so I don't like to waste people's time. I respect your time. I know that you guys have a lot going on. And so I want to get some stuff done for maybe 20, 25 minutes. Does that sound okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I just lift up every single person that came here tonight that got in their car or rode with somebody or took the bus or rode their bike or however they got here. I pray, Lord, that you would bless every single person for being here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, speak through your word, God. And I pray that you would just grab a hold of each and every single person that's in here tonight, Lord. And everybody that's watching online, too. I pray that you would just speak your words to us, God. And I pray that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. I pray that you would convict us where we need to be convicted. And I pray, Lord, that ultimately, God, your will would be done. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so The topic is, what does God want? When was the last time you thought about that, right? It's not something we normally think about. It's funny, when we think about God and the Bible and I think our relationship with God, what do we think about first? We think about, what do I need? It's just kind of natural, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that our needs honestly bring us to God on a regular basis. I know for myself, it's easy to get off track. It's easy to just live your life and, you know, days go by and you're like, man, I haven't prayed a whole lot, or I haven't read my Bible. I haven't been around like people that are encouraging me. And so I get kind of off track really easy. And it's easy to do in this world. There's technology, there's life. It seems like it's getting crazier and crazier. This is a fast-paced society. It just seems to never stop. And in that, I want to remind us all just to take a moment throughout the week just to breathe and to acknowledge God. It says in Proverbs that if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll make your path straight. And I believe that. I really do. And so take the time to do that. But the first thing that I want to bring up, I have four things that I feel like God wants. And I found this in the Bible, of all places. But the first one is, God wants to make something out of nothing. I was on a cruise last October, and I'm not a huge fan of cruises, but, you know, my wife and her whole entire family were going, and I had to go. I didn't have a choice. I had to go. And so I was kind of kicking and screaming, but I actually had a good time. The worst part about it was, it was during the World Series, and then, like, dinner time was, like, during the World Series, and I had to be there. So I kept disappearing from the dinner table to watch the Dodgers lose the World Series. It was very heartbreaking. I literally haven't watched a game since. But anyway, that's not the story. The story is, I went on a cruise, and at night, I don't know if you've ever been on a ship or out in a boat or even just watched the ocean at night on a pier or something. It's different at night than it is during the day. During the day, it's fun, it's sun, it's, you know, it's relaxing, you hear the waves, it's beautiful, you get a suntan or a sunburn, whatever. But at night, it all changes. It gets kind of eerie. It gets kind of weird. And I was sitting on the side of the balcony of the ship, and it was late at night, and I was able to just relax. I was able to just look out onto the ocean, and I started thinking about this scripture I'm going to tell you about in a second. It was weird. I looked out into the water. You couldn't see land. We were out in the ocean on this floating piece of metal that hopefully was going to stay up. I get a little freaked out about the ocean. But I looked out, and it was just nothing. It was water, it was air, and it was dark. And it gave me like the heebie-jeebies. It was like, ooh, I don't like this. But it made me think of this scripture. And I've read this many times before, but it's Genesis 1:1-5. This is the very, very, very beginning of the Bible. And in the beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, next verse. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so in the beginning, I don't know what happened before this. It's very confusing. I'm not a scientist, and I'm really not even a theologian. But apparently, the Bible starts when it's water and it's dark. And so when I was watching this from the ship, I was thinking, this is what it started with. Just deep, dark, nothing. And then my mind kind of went into more thoughts about how crazy it is that our entire world, out of our entire world, 3/4 of it is the ocean, right? 3/4 of our world that we live on is uninhabitable to humans. It's nothing. There's literally nothing there. If we were dropped in the ocean, or if I fell off the ship, which I constantly thought I was going to for some reason, I wouldn't make it. I would be in a bad situation. And that's what God started with. Now, the interesting thing about this scripture, the part that I love about it, and it hit me then, and it kind of stuck with me, was that God was there in the darkness. God was there in the nothing. God was there when before anything good was there. God was there. And I think that this verse applies to a lot of things, but one of the things that it definitely applies to, and this is what I take it as, is that we go through moments of darkness in our lives. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You know how dark it can get. It can feel like there's nothing there. It can feel like you're alone. It can feel like there's no hope. But the beauty is that God isn't afraid of that darkness. He's not afraid of being in that place. In fact, God is there. It seems like he's there more than these other places. I know that's not true, but it seems like he meets us when we're in the darkest moments of our lives, doesn't he? I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. I've been in the place where it got pretty dark. And I thought, there's nothing there, but God showed up. And it blows my mind. It really does. He always shows up. And so for those of you guys that don't believe, that don't acknowledge, and maybe you've been in that place, maybe you're in this place right now, maybe you just barely came to church tonight, I don't know where you're at, but if you're there, realize that if you feel like God is speaking to you, it's probably him. It really is. You got to listen. See, I believe in God, and I believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and I believe that Jesus Christ lived and he died, and because of his sacrifice, if you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, you have full access to God himself, and that's huge. That's massive, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'm going to be turning in my Bible, but I got the digital stuff, so I'm going to do that. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the light is actually with us because of what Jesus did, because of the sacrifice he made, because of the fact that he came down here, lived on this earth, took all the sins upon himself, our sins, right, for all mankind. Because he did that, God has shown the light in our hearts. And so where there was once darkness in our hearts, now there's light wherever you go. And that's the crazy thing, because you go to some pretty crazy places, don't you? Right? And sometimes we think, God's not going to go with me here, or God's not going to go with me there. But once you did, right? Like if you give your life over to Jesus, guess what? He's not going to let you go. He's not going to do it. And if he does that, then that means he's going to be with you wherever you go. And to me, that's comforting. You know why? Because I know that God loves me. I know God cares about me. I know God likes me. I know he wants the best for me. But I also know that he's in charge and he's good and things are going to be okay. And so he'll put this light inside of you, and it's your choice whether you want it to shine or not. You can hide it or you can just be open with it. How many of you guys heard that Chris Pratt speech? That was pretty cool. I heard part of it on Sunday during the message. We always play copyrighted videos. I always tell him not to. I'm like, don't do it. My dad doesn't listen. He just does it anyway. Sorry, Chris Pratt's people and MTV. But anyway. It was an awesome speech, though, like legit. He talked about, he said God is real. He went on and he said, I'm getting ahead of myself, this is actually my notes, but he said that nobody's perfect. He said, don't believe the lie that you're perfect just the way you are. You're not perfect, and that's why you need grace. That's why you need a Savior. Like, he went off and, like, did this on MTV. If you haven't looked at it, you can definitely pull it up online. Just Google Chris Pratt MTV speech or whatever, but really cool, really interesting. But let's go to John 8:12, one more verse in this, and then I'll move on to the next one. Oh, digital again. Okay. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. So if you follow Jesus, if you choose to follow Jesus, and this is a daily thing, it's a daily choice of whether you're going to follow Jesus or not, right? You wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ today, or I'm not. And if you choose to, you're going to be in the light. You're going to be where you're supposed to be, right? And there's this, I know I'm talking about the light a lot. It's not this, like, mysterious light. I'm under a lot of lights right now. It's very bright. It's not necessarily like that. it's a different kind of light. I'm going to get to that in a moment at the end here. But the second thing that God wants is to be trusted. So the first thing was to make something out of nothing, okay? He wants to do that in your life. The second thing is he wants to be trusted. How many of you guys are parents? Parents. Do you want your kids to ignore you? Some of you might for a minute. I get it. Junior hires must be, okay? I get it. But ultimately, you want your children to listen to you, right? Ultimately, you want your children to trust you, to realize that you know what's best. You've been there before. You were young once. You were their age once, right? Like, you know what's best for them. And I think that God is really no different. He's a father. He's a heavenly father who really cares about you and wants you to, I mean, how many, what do you do? Let's put it this way. What do you do when you have an issue? Like, what's the first thing you do when you have an issue that you can't solve on your own? What's the first thing you do? Let's be honest. Honesty. This is honesty moment. You don't have to yell it, but just be honest. What's the first thing you do when you have an issue you can't resolve? Google? Be honest. Do we Google it? I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I do it all the time. We Google, right? But we've become so trained to look at other places. And I was convicted about this week. I was thinking, I was in prayer, and I felt like God just kind of spoke to me. He said, you're looking to other places for wisdom. You're looking to other places for the truth, for meaning. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. And I started thinking, I'm like reading a lot of other books. I'm like doing a lot of things. And so it was the Holy Spirit's way of just kind of getting me back in line and understanding that God is the author of all wisdom. God is the author of everything good and right. And I 100% believe that. What's funny, I read a lot of business books. I read a lot of random self-help books. I just like them. I don't know why. If you ever see me in Barnes & Noble, I'm just like looking at all the book titles, just trying to figure out what book to read. And I don't think anything's wrong with reading. I do a lot. But, I don't necessarily read a lot. I get a lot of books, and I read like the first like 10, 15 pages, and then I shelf it. It's pretty much everything you need to know is in the first 10 pages, right? It's just, it's in the intro. Yeah, it's in the cliff notes, exactly. So, anyway, where was I? My point is that all those books, it's like they took the Bible's wisdom and they kind of regurgitated and reframed it, and then they sell books out of it. So if you want to, who wants to be a millionaire, just read the Bible and just reword it in your own words and write a self-help book, and you'll be good, right? You're welcome. All right, so if you become a millionaire, take me to lunch. So God wants to be trusted. Psalm 56:8. This is one of the Psalms of David. He says, you have kept count of my tossings. You've kept count of my tossings. I love that. You've kept count of the times that I've been thrown down, the times I've been jacked up, the times that I've just really went through it, right? Through the ringer. You've kept count of them. God knows the times that you've gotten hit, and the times that you've been verbally abused, and the times that you've been done wrong, and the times that you've been ripped off, and the times that things have happened to you that shouldn't have happened to you. God knows, okay? He says, you put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God keeps track. He actually cares when you're hurting. This God. He's not just a man, a white man with a beard on a throne, okay? He's a God who loves you individually, right? And it's the next verse. It says, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. Next verse. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. Next verse. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? If you have a problem with anxiety, okay, if you do, try learning to trust God more. Fear and anxiety is a form of respect, right? It's a form of respect. I'm afraid of little black spiders because I respect what they can do to my body. Right? Like, I Google what can little black spiders do to me, and I see, like, massive, like, arms falling off and stuff, right? So I respect those little suckers. I do. Which causes a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear, right? I respect giant sharks in the ocean. That's why I only swim around slow swimmers. Because, well, get them. But do you see what I'm saying? Fear and anxiety is a form of respect. If you understand first that God loves you, and you understand that he wants to protect you, and he wants to give you the wisdom to live out the life that you're called to live, you understand those things, and you also respect God and understand who he is, he's like number one, right? Like fully in charge. So if you understand that he loves you and you understand who he is, you understand that he's fully capable to handle anything and everything and that he actually cares about you, then guess what? Fears about everything else will start to subside. So if you want to beat anxiety and fear, start to respect and understand who God is and understand how much he cares about you. Okay? I'm serious. If that's like a cure for fear and anxiety, but it's a practice. All of this stuff is a practice. That's what I get frustrated because I'm human, so I understand exactly how it is. By the way, when I like put together a sermon, it's already convicted the crap out of me, so I just have to bring it to you afterwards. But basically what I'm saying is I've lost my track. Anyway. What I was going to say is I get frustrated because we don't understand that it's a practice. That it's something we have to work toward. It's like anything else, right? If you want to be really good, my dad was telling me the other day that he's like, let's go. He's like, let's go to the batting cages. He's like, I think I can hit 9 out of 10 in the 60s. And I'm like, what? Where'd that come from? But I know that he would sit down there until he did. Like, he would practice and practice and practice and practice until he did it, if he wanted to do it. I don't know if he's going to do it. But my point is like, when you practice at something, you get better. How many of you guys play sports or played sports at one point? Right? Did you stink? Some of you stunk, okay. But did you practice and get better? Right? You get better. How many of you guys worked on your education, or maybe you've moved up in your job, or maybe you've done the same job for years and years and years? What happens? You get better, and it's no different with these things in the Bible. So there's all this wisdom. The reason I'm saying is that I think that a lot of us, we read, and we don't fully practice what we're reading, and then we blame God for the lack of result, right? It's easy to do that. It really is. So anyway... The first one was God wants to make something out of nothing. The second one was God wants to be trusted. The third thing is God wants to be involved. Okay? Again, how many of you guys have kids? How many of you guys want to be around your kids? Don't answer over here. Sometimes. Okay, fair enough. But we want to be around our children, right? We want to be involved. And what's funny, I have a little, seriously, awesome kid. Like my kid is amazing. You got to see her. I should have brought pictures. Anyway, next time, I'll bring pictures, all right? I just love her. It's seriously the best thing ever. But I've learned that if parents are involved in their little lives, if they're involved in speaking to them and reading to them, then their brain at their little age, she's 20 months old, their brains actually develop better if you actually are involved with their life rather than just sitting in front of the TV, right? Which occasionally happens because, you know, life gets busy, but hopefully not too much. But the more that we're involved in their lives, the more that we're just loving on them, the more we're showing them things, their actual brains develop and they become a better person. They become a better adult. And I don't think it's much different even for us adults with God. Because to God, we're little toddlers, man. We're a bunch of little toddlers. Thank God we're not wearing diapers, but we are. Maybe you don't like to hear that, but that's who we are. God wants to just pick us up and hold us and pat our butt. Right? Like, he loves us. He really does. I know, those are crazy, these are crazy thoughts, right? But my point is that God really wants to hold you and make sure that you're okay. I know you tough guys out there, you're like, I don't want to hear this. This is lame. This is stupid. Maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you need a hug, right? Maybe you need someone to put their arm around you. I don't know, but God really wants to take care of you, and he wants to be involved in your life. Genesis 11, this is a weird story, the Tower of Babel. This story has blown my mind for a long time because it seems like it shouldn't fit. When I read it, I'm like, what is this story? I've just wrestled with it. I've asked God about it multiple times, and I feel like he gave me somewhat of an answer. But the Tower of Babel, I'm just going to read it real quick, and then if you want to go back and read it later, that's fine. It says, the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for some, and bitumen and mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. I'm reading the ESV, sorry if this is different. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. And so God comes down, and he stops the project, and he disperses them and confuses their language. And this story has always bothered me because I'm thinking, the people were united, God. Like, your children were united. They were communicating well. They were working together. Like, we need more of that today, right? Like, we need better communication. But the problem with this story is the people, at some point, they thought they didn't need God anymore. And there's two sides to this story. One side is, as humans, we are much more capable than we even understand. If we work together, if we become unified, we're very capable. But it can be dangerous if we unify and work together without God. It could be devastatingly dangerous. Because what good is it to become the most successful person in the world and miss out on the entire point of life? And so God wants to be involved in our projects. He wants to be with us. And the last one, number four, and I got to end, is to be in a loving relationship with us. And so the first one is he wants to make something out of nothing. The second one is to be trusted. The third one is he wants to be involved in our projects, to work together with us. And then the last one is he wants to be in a loving relationship with us. Turn to 1 John 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we talked about this at the very beginning, that God is light. I think you guys are with me on that, right? Look at the next verse. Look at 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Okay, so the first thing is God is what? Light. And the second thing is God is love, right? And so there's a correlation there. This light and this love, they have something to do with each other. And I think what it is if we live in relationship with God, if we live in a loving relationship with him, where we're talking to him, where we're working things out with him, where we're working with him, he's working with us, where we're getting better, but we're coming back to him and saying, hey, this is my progress report, God. I'm working on this right here. And you keep going back, and you actually have a full relationship with him, then you're going to be in the light. And guess what? When you're in the light, you can see. You can see clearly. You can know where you're going. You can know what your path is, right? But the key is love. It really is. And so I know that I've been talking kind of like mysterious, like light, love, adult babies, all this weird stuff, right? But when it all comes down to it, there's a very simple, practical side to this. Last scripture I'm going to read tonight is 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is what love is. And this is what I want us all to check ourselves with, okay? If you want to live in the light, if you want to live with God, if you want to live your life in relationship with him, co-conspiring with him, working with him in the light, this is what you got to work on, okay? Love is first, what? Patient. How's your patience? How is it? Love is patient, right? Just mark it down. If you got to work on it, work on it, right? Love is kind. How's your kindness? Love does not envy or boast. Does not envy, does not boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. When's the last time you said, it's my way or the highway? When's the last time you thought, it's my way or the highway? Does not insist on its own way. Like I said, this has already convicted me, okay? It's not irritable or resentful. Not irritable? Man, cut us a break, right? It's not irritable, but if you're in a loving relationship with God and you see the big picture, little things aren't going to bother you. They're not going to bother you. Your OCD, whatever it is that normally would bother you, it's not going to bother you, right? It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Like when I saw that Chris Pratt interview, I was like, that's good. And then I read online that some Christians are like, well, he's wrong because he got a blah, blah, blah. Dude, it's good. Somebody is who has influence is saying the truth. He's saying some good things. It's good. Love bears all things. Love, if you are a loving person, you're freaking tough. You can handle the, what's the word I'm thinking of? You can handle the stuff that comes your way. You can handle it. You can handle anything. Bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love lasts. It just does. And Jesus, when he was asked, what's the most important thing, Jesus? What is it? A lot of times Jesus would, he would answer back with a question. He wasn't real black and white with his answers. People would ask him a question. They're trying to stump Jesus. It's like, let's play stump Jesus. And they would ask him a question, and he would throw back another question, and they would go scratching their heads. But in this instant, they asked Jesus, they said, what is the most important commandment? What's the most important thing? And he fired back to you right away. He said, first, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those things, if you get those basics down, then you got it. And you know what? If anybody preaches anything else, they are wrong, okay? I'm just telling you that. If you want to know, what I'm saying is, if somebody is preaching and that's not the basis of their message, it is wrong. That's what I'm saying. So if you want to know who's false, who's wrong, who's not legit, judge it on that. It's all about love. It really is. And love is not a wussy thing. Love is not a hippie thing. Love is not a weirdo thing. Love is a human thing. And it just works, right? It just does. So be first in love with God. And if you don't love him, be honest about it. I did that for years. I went to bed every night just praying, God, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling this. I don't see you. I'm confused. So please put more love in my heart for you. And then I go to bed. That was my only prayer for years. And honestly, one day I woke up and I was like, all right, stuck. It just did. So just trust, believe. Learn to obey, learn to obey because you understand who God is. He's not mean. He cares. So it's work, right? You guys gonna go out there and work? All right. Let's pray and I'll let you guys get going. Father, I just...
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.